Here's the 2-1 pitch. There she goes, way back in the left field, and number 400 is on the way. It's in there. The 400th home run for Harmon Killebrew.
Harmon Clayton Killebrew was one of the most dominant hitters in baseball over a 21-year career. But he was also one of the classiest, most generous human beings to ever wear a baseball uniform. Even during his final days, when he knew the end was coming, he didn't worry about himself.
His focus is everywhere but on himself. It's on how our baseball team's doing. It's on how Nita, his wife's doing. And he continues to be a very giving man.
Twins president Dave St. Peter spent time with Killebrew and his wife shortly before it was made public that the Hall of Famer was entering hospice care.
In comes the pitch. There's a drive deep to left field. If it stays fair, it's gone. And that one is a fair ball home run. Just inside the foul pole. Harmon Killebrew unloads.
When he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1984, Harmon's legendary modesty came with him to Cooperstown.
I don't know. I was used as a cleanup hitter a few times, but this is the toughest cleanup hitting I've ever done. To follow guys like Rick Farrell and Don Drysdale, Pee Wee Reese, Louis Aparicio.
He talked about his life.
This is a tough job.
And especially his father.
I was born and raised in a little town in Idaho called Payette, and when I was 8 years old, my father gave me my first baseball glove. He was a great athlete. He played football. And
he broke down when talking about his dad.
Harmon Clayton Killebrew Sr. would be very proud today. And I wish he were here. And somehow I know he is.
He was an All-American quarterback at his high school. But it was a fateful conversation between a U.S. senator from Idaho and Washington Senators owner Clark Griffith that put Harmon on his path to the big leagues. He signed a $50,000 contract and at the tender age of 17 made his major league debut for the Senators. And when the Senators became the Twins, Minnesotans immediately embraced Harmon as one of their own. This recent caller to the Chad Hartman Show on WCCO Radio explained the impact Killebrew had during the 60s.
Harmon had such an influence that my dad wanted to call his son Harmon. My mom said, no, it needs to be Ronald. So it ended up being Ronald Harmon for about 6 months.
Is that right?
Dad went back in and they changed the birth certificate to Harmon Ronald. So there are many Harmons out there, but certainly he was named after the Harmon the Great.
Curveball swung on, is a high fly ball hit into deep left field. It's back deep. It's going. Number 500 for Harm Killebrew.
In the 60s, Major League Baseball was new to Minnesota, and fans were treated to early success in 1965, an American League pennant. I asked him about the 65 season a few years ago.
Well, that was an interesting year for me personally because I hurt my elbow in a play at first base, and it looked like after all those years we're going to win the pennant and I wasn't going to get a chance to play in the World Series. But as far as the fans' reaction, I think it was just absolutely great. People were looking for a winning ball club here, and they finally got one.
So I say D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S.
Even though the Dodgers took the series in 7 games, Harmon was still part of a World Series winner.
Harmon Killebrew is downstairs.
He was a member of the Twins broadcast team in 1987 when they won Game 7.
All right, Herb Carneal, and thank you very much. And a very, very happy guy standing beside me. The guy that threw the last pitch this 1987 season, Jeff Reardon. And Jeff, try to get your breath.
We're gonna win, Twins, we're gonna score.
He was the first man to hit a baseball over the left field roof at Old Tiger Stadium. He hit the longest measured homer at Memorial Stadium in Baltimore. And his 520-foot blast at Metropolitan Stadium is still marked with a red-painted seat from the bleachers of Metropolitan Stadium in the Mall of America. Even with all of these accomplishments, 573 home runs, 13-time All-Star, an MVP award in 69, and even though he retired after the 1975 season, the Baseball Hall of Fame didn't enshrine him until 1984.
I wore my Twins hat, and he came up to our family and introduced himself and asked us where we were from and thanked us for coming.
For those of us who grew up as lifelong Twins fans, we all seem to have a Harmon Killebrew story to share. When I was a freshman in high school, I was not even 5 feet tall, shortest guy on the team, who wore the number 3 on a state championship baseball team. The uniform was the smallest one they had, and on the back I wore number 3. Nearly every game, fans would have some fun with little Harmon Killebrew and draw a pretty good laugh from their buddies. As years passed by, and because of some fortunate circumstances with WCCO's longtime broadcast relationship with the Twins, I had many opportunities to spend time with Harm, including time in his baseball kingdom at the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. He was the most gracious superstar I believe I've ever met. As we became friends, I told him the story of my younger days when the fans tried to get my goat. He laughed when I told him it was the greatest insult I ever received.
Curveball swung on, is a high fly ball hit into deep left field. It's back deep. It's going, going. Number 500 for Harm Killebrew.
Remembering Harmon Killebrew, a Hall of Famer and a great friend, Dave Lee, WCCO.